to continue to produce theatrical, musical, entertainment content. We remain interested in hearing people's ideas about what we can do to help bring content forward and make people aware of what's going on. But
and we have a couple things coming up locally. Jake Fava and Anika Emily are doing a live stream event tomorrow night, which is April 17th at 7 p.m. They'll be singing some covers and some original songs from what I gathered from their Facebook page. So that's April 17th at 7 p.m. You can just look under Jake Fava Music on Facebook and tune into that event. And then Shambana Moms, I can never say that right, .com. They have a See You Sing a Song sing-along on Saturday, April 25th from 4 to 4:30. And from my understanding, these schools, the Unit 4 and Urbana schools, are going to send out the song so people can learn it before the event. And then we all tune in and sing together. That's like fun.
All right. Well, let's get those. We'll put those links up on our Facebook page. And I know that the Unit 4 high schools are also putting together some sort of a cyber cabaret of some kind. So we can maybe revisit with LaDonna Wilson and see how that's progressing. Because I know that both of our kids have been solicited for that. I think we need to give them some nudges to actually produce.
Yeah, I've tried. And also, there might be some content coming up for the Station Theater sometime in the next couple weeks, so stay tuned to that. And I've heard back from a couple people that I've asked to create content and direct, and we'll see how quickly they can pull stuff together. But we have stuff coming down the road.
And so tonight should have been a big night at the Station Theater, speaking of the station, because this would have been opening night of Falsettos.
Yes, very sad, but some of the Falsettos cast have recorded some of their songs, and so over the next 3 weeks, we'll play, hopefully, a couple of some of their songs, so people can get excited about Falsettos. We're still hoping that maybe at some point we can still run Falsettos. I've not heard it canceled yet, so.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things that Station is doing its best to not cancel, just to push back, and so I think that's what we're all doing with our lives and our dreams and stuff, is we're just saying, okay, just, we're not giving them up. We're just putting them on hold. We're inventing them in different ways. And some of the content from Falsettos I'm so excited about. And like, and Jackie's, I'm breaking down, she gave us in video form, and we'll have
to post that. And I think that we should, we should post the video form for sure. It's pretty cool.
And so that's so we're going to bring some content that should have been and that hopefully will be. And today's guest is somebody who has been creating content in the Champaign-Urbana theater community for over 30 years. And we're going to celebrate some of that today. We have Mike Trapetti with us. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm very good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, welcome to see you at the show. It is fun to have somebody who has a local legendary status like you come on and talk to us about theater. And I've been noticing you on Facebook lately creating some new content now and then. So what are you doing to bring theater life to Facebook?
Well, not a whole lot. I've had a ukulele, and I've always created some songs, and occasionally I'll post them on Facebook. I also tried, and it failed. I tried to start a Shakespeare thing. I did a Shakespeare sonnet, and I said, okay, it's your turn. And of course, nobody responded.
So the idea was kind of a tag your it kind of a thing?
Yeah, just, okay, your turn. You know, do a monologue from a Shakespeare play or a sonnet or something.
I like that. And maybe the key would have been to actually call somebody out. And then, so it literally would have been Shakespeare tag.
Yeah.
And then they in turn need to tag somebody else, which maybe it's that sort of... maybe that's the sort of thing that theater people need, is to actually be put on the spot rather than just given an open invitation. So, and that is something Linda and I have been talking about, with trying to get monologues out, trying to get people performing in different ways. And one of the reasons I thought to contact you about coming on the show is because I have seen you posting things like this. Are these things that you've done even in the pre-COVID era, or is that kind of upped your incentive a little bit?
Ukulele I have been doing for a couple of years. The Shakespeare thing was directly because of people are home and, you know, if they're looking for something to do or wanting to stay active in the theater to do something like that.
So you grew up in this area, right, Mike?
I was here. I've lived here most of my life, except for 3 years. I lived in New York City from 1979 to 1982. I gave it a shot at theater, and I can honestly say I did work, but not that much. And I realized I kind of got off track, and I was drinking a lot and doing a lot of other things, and I realized I was killing myself. And I said, you know, I'm just going to come back home. And I did. And I don't have any regrets.
Well, we're glad to have you back here. And how many plays do you know? How many plays you've been in?
Well, I don't. I know the first 4 years I was there at the station from 75 to 79. I know I acted in 24 plays. But wow. I did more than that, because back then it was an actual company. And so I probably helped build almost every set that was up in those 4 years. Also, I ran lights for some shows. I co-wrote a show that four of us did. It was an anthology, kind of a sketch comedy thing. I did that with actually Mark Brokaw, who he was directing on Broadway. There's a lot of them from the 70s that have gone on to Broadway, movies, TV. You know, there's a whole handful of them, more than I can count on my hands.
So tell me what it was, how the company structure was formed. Was this something you had, you applied for or auditioned to be in the company?
The Celebration Company started as a summer company, and you auditioned for the company. And there were four shows and a traveling children's show. We had 4 days between each show. We did two shows a night. You were in at least two of the five shows, sometimes more. And you did everything. I know now when a set is being built, you rarely see an actor on the workday building the set. Back then it was the cast that built the sets, and we would literally be 5 o'clock opening night. We would be in the theater painting. So it was just round the clock. But like I said, you know, it was youth. We were all young, and it's what we wanted to do. So it might seem like a hardship now, but it was just what we did back then, and we loved it. Oh yeah. And I wish the actors today could experience how I grew up in the theater at the station. And it's like now it's all so out of whack, you know, like they'll say, oh, it's company night. I'm a company member. I get in free. But the thing is that all started because the company night was for the people rehearsing the next show, which sometimes you were in the show that was performing and you were also in the next show. So you were right, performing for your next cast. That we all knew each other. We were all a part of that company that we had to audition for every year.
Right.
And there was no pre-casting because directors would fight over certain actors, and they'd say, and I directed in the summer before too, and you'd say, okay, I'll trade you this actor for this actress and this actor.
So, and a couple and tray really, of cookies.
There was no pre-casting. You literally traded actors. You'd get your dream cast, and then you'd start trading.
So. Oh, that's crazy. Wow.
Well, I can hear a lot of enthusiasm that you still have and passion that you still have. And I don't know if it's nostalgic passion or if you think that this is still something in a place like the station or local companies could still exist.
I don't think it could exist today. There's just too many other, I mean, back in the 70s, there really wasn't that much else to do. There were three TV stations, there was no internet. You know, if you were into theater, I mean, this was just a dream. You know, you were doing it, you know, 24 hours a day, basically.
Was Station the last local theater to have a company, or maybe was it the only one? that you know of?
Well, I know Craner used to have a summer company, and they did all the way up until, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 years ago. And you auditioned for that. Although Craner, they paid their actors for their summer company.
Well, one of the reasons,
you know, Steve Keen, he was a big,
oh gosh, yeah.
He did a lot of the Craner shows, the Craner company shows.
I think the last thing I saw him in was maybe Glass Menagerie at Station, but I've also seen him at Craner.
Yeah, I met Steve. His first show at the Station was Hair in 1979. That's how I met Steve, and we've been good friends ever since.
So Hair would have been 1 year then after Jesus Christ Superstar.
It was actually one show after Jesus Christ Superstar. Christ Superstar was in April and Hair was in June.
Oh, so it was in, so then it would have been in probably 1979, right?
It was 1979.
Okay, because I saw that it was in the seventh season of the Station.
Yeah, I don't really know how all that works, but I do know the years.
And yeah, okay. So, and this came, and Jesus Christ Superstar came to my attention because I got an email from Rick Orr a few days ago saying that you had given him CDs from that show. And I've had a chance to listen to them, and it seemed as though using our show to, our platform to maybe celebrate some of this theater past would be a fun thing to do. What do you remember about Jesus Christ Superstar 1979?
Well, that was during the regular season. So it was technically a Celebration Company show, but you didn't have to audition for the company. That you actually, anyone could audition for that show because it wasn't the summer company. And so a lot of people, back then, a lot of people auditioned. I mean, you didn't go in there and there were five people auditioning for four roles. I mean, we had hundreds of people audition back then. I don't know where they came from. And it's funny because this show, Jesus Christ Superstar, it was a lot of new people, and they showed up, did the show, and then we never saw them again. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. It's kind of a big show I'm always amazed that we can do musicals like that at the Station.
And do them well.
Right, right. And the recordings are actually great for that time frame.
And that show was done in the round, I remember. And if I remember right, the band was under the audience. We had real high risers and the band was under the audience.
That would be really an interesting experience to have the music coming from underneath you. But the sound is great because maybe that's part of what kept the sound from being overwhelming on the CD was that it had to filter up through the seats. So this was directed by the great Rick Orr, and the musical director was John Hightower. Was this the first time that you'd worked with Rick?
Oh no, Rick cast me in my very first show out of high school, Godspell, in 1975.
What was your role in Godspell?
Well, Godspell, there's Jesus and Judas, and then the other eight members are the ensembles. Mm-hmm. So I was one of the ensemble, but we were on stage the whole show, so I was part of the group.
Well, so you got to be King Herod in Jesus Christ Superstar.
I was King Herod in the second act. In the first act, I was just part of the chorus.
Okay. So we've got a clip here, King Herod's song. This is Mike Trapetti.
Healing cripples,
Oh, I thought you were going to get a big round of applause there, but it cut off. That was great. How does it feel to hear the Mike of 31 years ago performing at the station?
Well, it feels good. I you think at the time you're doing good work, and then as you get older, you wonder if it really was. And then I look back at that one in particular, and I believe it was a good show and a good production. And that makes me feel good.
Do you think that any of the plays that you've written would be conducive to that sort of a format? Because one of the things that we're thinking about doing is, if we are kept out of the theater for a while, we'd like to bring some shows to people. And then that brings up issues of rights. And so we're thinking of public domain shows, and we're thinking of local playwright shows. And so I guess maybe you can't answer that on the spot, but.
Well, I can. Think about the two that I directed at the station are very physical. One was a women's comedy about a women's prison. There was a lot of fist fights, a lot of choreography. So that really wouldn't bode so well for a reading. The other one was a kind of a spoof on the theater, and there was an actual car chase on stage, which I don't think would really work in a reading. However, there is a play that I wrote that I loved that I submitted to the station years ago to direct, and they turned me down. They said, no, it's too heavy a topic. And it was kind of controversial, and it kind of made me mad. So I made a feature length movie out of it, and we won festivals all over the country. So I'm proud of that. And I've actually been in the process of going back to the original play that I wrote, and I'm kind of rewriting it, making it more like the movie, which was better than the play was originally. So if I ever get around to finishing that, you know, that would be very good.
Can people access the movie? Is it online anywhere? Or
It used to be on Amazon, but they took it down because it wasn't closed captioned. You can buy it from Amazon, or if you're nice to me, I could lend you a copy.
So what's the name of the...
It's called Amber Rose. It's pretty controversial. Without going into the plot, I tried to humanize evil. You know, so many people look at people like Hitler or Ted Bundy, people like that, and they see evil, which they should, but they're also human. And I tried to humanize evil is what I tried to do. So. Uh-huh. And it is controversial. People talked about it, and it's upsetting, and it's intense. But I'm very proud of it.
Good.
Well, I would say to, you know, consider if you want to give the play another chance to come back to life, consider ways in which we could help do it. We'd love to be a part of that.
Okay, I definitely will. Thank you.
And did you mention that you and three of the other company members back in the 70s put together a show on your own? Did you reference that earlier?
Well, actually, Mark Brokaw and a good friend of his, Philip Prale, I can't think of the title, they did a sketch comedy piece in the 70s, and it was very funny. It was a lot of fun. And then they wanted to do another one, and they asked me and another person, and the four of us wrote it together and performed it together. It was called A La Carte. I don't think it was as good as the ones that Mark and Philip did together, but it was okay. It was fun.
And does it exist anywhere? Do you still have the script?
No, I don't have a script. Mark might. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But we did record audio on every show back then in the 70s. The problem is they're all reel to reel, and the person that had them all in her basement passed away, so I don't know where they're at now.
Oh, wow. Well, we are in the process as... Linda and I are both on the board at the station, and Linda's house is filling up piece by piece with boxes of people.
I have all the archive stuff that Joy was keeping forever that I'm sure was in somebody else's house before that. So now it's all in my place. So.
Yeah. Well, it's like a treasure map, and we still know where certain pots of things are located, but we haven't consolidated them all yet. Or maybe...
And after COVID, I'm supposed to be dropping off, you know, a couple truckloads of stuff to a person, a librarian from the Urbana Free Library, and she's going to help us, like, put it into an archival.
Well, Linda, I wasn't even contemplating that there might be reels of, like, audio tracks. Yeah. So you know that there are?
No, I mean, I'd heard there isn't any in any of the stuff that I've gone through, but I've heard that there were. And so
let's,
I don't
let's look
should try to check that.
I think a guy named Paul Damsky might have them.
Okay. Yeah, we'll talk to you after the show and see if maybe we can track some of this stuff down, especially now that we have a professional that's willing to help us put everything together. We should work on that. Which kind of brings us into, it's kind of an interesting time with the pandemic and everything, because people want to share their shows and there's a lot of copyright issues and things like that. So it's, I wonder how things are going to change based on what we're having to do at this time, especially if we have to, you know, shelter in place longer, or it's a cycle that we have to do on a regular basis, and if theaters can't open up the way they used to. So it'll be interesting to see how the legality of things like that change and how people are able to continue to do theater in this kind of time.
Yeah. And so Mike, as we rake off to show some of our new content, I want to thank you very much for coming on. It sounds like you and your treasure trove of stories and memories from the station might warrant you coming back in the near future and talking to us some more about the great CU theater scene of the 70s. It sounds amazing.
Well, I would love to, but include Steve Keen and Gary Ambler and Ann Chaplin and some of these others that were so big in the growth of the station theater.
Yeah, well, that actually sounds like it would be maybe a great kind of a special show that we've been talking about doing, not on the radio necessarily, but that could be something well suited to a Zoom format where we have all the, you know, nine heads of theater past all telling stories and sharing things about their experiences. So let's work together and put that and make that work. That sounds fantastic.
There is also one quick thing. There's a DVD out on the Celebration Company's 25th anniversary, which was a long time ago, but it's got a lot of those people on it telling stories and a lot of pictures and clips and things like that. So
that's great.
How can people find that?
I have a copy, and as soon as I can get out in public, I will get some copies made and people can view it.
Okay.
Great.
That's
Thank
great.
You.
Thanks again for joining us, Mike.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. It's great to talk to you.
Same here.
All right, Linda, so we've got a little treat from Falsettos coming up. Do you want to introduce this one?
Is it Jackie? I don't know. You know more.
It is Jackie. I thought you were watching the screen. Okay, yes, we have. Okay. And there's such a fantastic video that accompanies this. But this is our friend, station board member Jackie Lowenstein, with a video, and an audio is fantastic too. But this was like a music video for the times right here. That's Jackie Lowenstein performing "I'm Breaking Down" from Falsettos. I will play the show out with this. Thanks for joining us on See You at the Show. Linda, stay safe.
You too.
I'd like to be a princess on a throne, to have a country I can call my own, and a king who's lusty and requires a fling with a female thing. Great men will be men, let me turn on the gas. I caught them in the den with Marvin grabbing Whizzer's ass. Oh, sure, I'm sure he sure he did. Best. I mean, he meant to be what he was not. The things he was are things which I forgot. He's a queen, I'm a queen. Where is my crown? I'm breaking down. I'm breaking down. My life is shitty and my kid seems like an idiot to me. I mean, that's sick. I mean, he's great. It's me who is the matter, talking madder than the maddest hatter. If I repeat one more word, I swear I'm breaking down. Do you ask me, is it fun to cry over nothing? It is. I'm breaking down. consider what I might do next. I hate admitting I've become perplexed. I'm bereaved. I've cried, I shook, I've yelled, I've heaved. I have been deceived. As enemies go, a wizard is not so bad. It's just he's so damn happy that it makes me so damn mad. I want to hate him, but I really can't. It's like a nightmare how this all proceeds. I hope that wizard don't fulfill his needs. Don't is wrong, sing along. What was that noun? I'm breaking down. I'm breaking down. I'll soon redecorate these stalls. I'd like some padding on the walls and also pills. I want to sleep. Sure, things will probably worsen, but it's not like I'm some healthy person. I've rethought my talks with Marv, and one fact does emerge. I think I like his shrink. And that is why I might turn to drink. I'm on the brink of breaking down. I'm breaking down, down, down. I only want to love a man who will love me, or like me, or help me. Marvin was never mine. He took his meetings in the boys' latrine. I used to cry, he'd make a scene. I'd rather die than dry. Marvin's wedding gown, I'm breaking down. I'm breaking down. It's so upsetting when you find that what's rectangular is round. I mean, it stinks. I mean, he's queer. And me, I'm just a freak who needs it maybe every other week. I've rethought the fun we had, and one fact does emerge. Clown, the almost virgin who sings this dirt is on the verge of breaking down. I'm breaking down, down, down. The only thing that's breaking up is my family.
To let you know, due to federal, state, and local coronavirus precautions,